Thank you, Alan. Good morning, church. Christian greetings from Champion Life Church in Bridgeton, in the southeast of Glasgow, a congregation made up of cheeky working class people, just like myself. And we are seeing the Lord doing very interesting things in our community. It's a wonderful time to be alive in Christ Jesus, because the Lord is redefining what the church is and where the church is going. It's a wonderful time to be learning the Word of God all over again. I'm sure we have experienced levels of shaking in our lives that create an epicenter of truth in our hearts, that we move away from a preconceived ideas about what we think the Word of God means and encounter a revelatory flow in our hearts. Thank you for your praise and worship this morning. I was very sad when it ended. I was hoping it would become a praise and worship service. It was so good, and the presence of the Lord was with us. Thank you too for your very warm welcome. It's good to feel at home. This doesn't look like a church of Scotland. Where is the pipe organs? Where is the choir? But you know what? This is a cutting-edge church that the Lord is raising up for such a time as this. At one level, denominations are very important because of the theological framework we grew up with and developed within. But at a greater level, God has a family on the earth, a family made up of born-again men and women, boys and girls that have experienced their sins from the greatest to the least washed away in the blood of Jesus. I like simple. When I get complicated, I get into trouble very quickly, which means I get you guys into trouble with me. So believing the Lord for a spirit of simplicity this morning, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Reading from verse 3 all the way down to 8. Acts 9, verse 3. As he was traveling, that is, Saul of Tarsus was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. Really clicked into King James language there. I saw into and almost said unto. But praise the Lord for that portion of Scripture. I'm sure we've all read that portion of Scripture many times. I suspect that portion of Scripture has been preached out of millions of times over the centuries. I'm tempted to say billions of times. Someone here today may have even come to know Jesus through an evangelistic message filtered through the Bible verses we have read. It's a great portion of Scripture to read in an evangelistic context. But today I want to focus on a single point of truth coming out of Saul of Tarsus' conversion to Jesus. There are many truths we can bring forth from that portion of the Word of God. But I want to zero in on the single truth that Saul of Tarsus, in the twinkling of an eye, experienced a breakthrough in his spirit. No longer did he look at Jesus of Nazareth as an impostor. No longer did he look at this movement called the Way as a heretical movement. In the twinkling of an eye, truth broke through in Saul of Tarsus' spirit, and this Jesus of Nazareth became Saul of Tarsus' Messiah. The breakthrough spirit ran more deeply than that, for this breakthrough spirit also worked within Saul of Tarsus' anointing that had many consequences for his future and for the future of many other people. In the twinkling of an eye was the release of an evangelistic thrust in the spirit of Saul of Tarsus. In the twinkling of an eye, there was an apostolic anointing released in Saul of Tarsus, a man who would go on and plant churches, raise up leaders, the fruit coming forth from this breakthrough in Saul of Tarsus' spirit was absolutely huge. It included developing a profound theology for this movement called the Way. This theology would become the foundational theology for the body of Christ throughout the ages. The Lord did not arrest Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road to raise him up as a superstar Christian. The Lord modeled in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus into one who would become the Apostle Paul, a breakthrough spirit that is so relevant for you and I this morning, so relevant for this awesome church, so relevant for the body of Christ in Scotland. I believe a big picture view of the gospel is rather simple. God has released the gospel in Scotland to disciple the nation. I used to think the gospel was to win the lost to Jesus, and that's partial truth. But a more fully developed truth is simply God chooses to release the gospel into nations to disciple nations, including the church, but way beyond the walls and boundaries of the church. We are learning a new language in our generation. I firmly believe the church has moved into a post-charismatic generation in Scotland. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit has left the church. It means that the Holy Spirit is leading the church forward from the practices of the charismatic movement and developing the church, maturing the church for such a time as this. The spiritual atmosphere is rich in the nation at this hour for a new move of God. Everywhere I go across Scotland, there are hungry believers. Across the Scottish landscape, there are Christians wrestling with this, hungry for more of God, yet divinely dissatisfied in God at the same time. There's an internal struggle with the old language we learned as charismatic believers in the 80s and 90s no longer cuts the mustard. The The Holy Spirit is giving us a new language that we can articulate the spiritual hunger, but through the matrix of Scripture, beginning to give us a fresh revelatory flow. It's a desperation for God and much of the church across Scotland. God always visits a desperate people. I'm no scholar, but it's the hallmark of every move of the Spirit, from Martin Luther's Reformation right through to the charismatic movement in the 1970s. But a person or a people became absolutely desperate for God. Our biggest challenge in the church is not really the pull of the world system, although the world system these days is all pervasive and at times quite persuasive. Our biggest challenge in the church is being willing to move away from our religious perspectives. Our religious perspectives that have tried to define God and tried to define ourselves. I believe we're in an hour where much of what was life in the body of Christ in the 1990s has become fossilized. No wonder we're a desperate people. No wonder we're a hungry people. No wonder there's this internal struggle taking place in our lives. This morning we're looking at a breakthrough spirit. I believe this fellowship is a first fruits fellowship of what the Lord wants to do across the city of Glasgow. He's chosen this fellowship in White Inch. What is a breakthrough spirit? Simple terms, a breakthrough spirit is a combination of a warring and pioneering anointing. We really don't get to choose what is the constituent parts of a breakthrough spirit. Sometimes we pray for a breakthrough spirit, not really knowing what we are praying for, but at the heart of a breakthrough spirit. It's warring in nature and pioneering in nature. There's great divine purpose when the Lord brings forth a breakthrough spirit. We see Jesus manifesting as judge and ruler. Acts 10:42, describing Jesus as the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and dead. Jesus is the original territorial spirit. We've become very sophisticated in the last generation, identifying with the enemy as at work in a territorial context. I believe many observations and a lot of analysis has been absolutely on the money, but the devil is an imitator. Devil is not the original territorial spirit. Jesus is the original territorial spirit. He gave God's ancient people Israel landmass and a scope of operation. He gave each tribe terms of reference and spheres of ownership, spheres of liberty in terms of what they could do and where they could go. Jesus gave the early church a mandate to go into all the world. At one level, the church in the book of Acts had a divine mandate, but at another level, they demonstrated out of that divine mandate a warring and pioneering spirit. When the world system opposed the work of God, the Holy Spirit intensified the warring nature of the church and intensified the pioneering nature
of the church. That's why it can cost a great deal to begin to move into a breakthrough spirit. It will redefine our theology. It will cause great shifts in our relationships. It will take us on a course of destiny that we will find very quickly there's no way back from. But the question, I believe, the Lord wants to put to you as a fellowship today is this: where is your territory? Do you know the territory the Lord has given you? Can you identify the people groups, even physical locations in and around Whitehinge, whereby the Lord has said, this belongs to you? This comes out of prayer. This comes out of preaching of the Word of God. This comes out of a flow of the prophetic. But as you get a revelatory flow and understanding, claim this in the Spirit. How do you claim this in the Spirit? I said earlier, this is a simple message coming from a simple man. 2 Corinthians 4:13 guides us into how we can claim things in the Spirit by acknowledging the spirit of faith that is in operation in all of our hearts. The spirit of faith operates according to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 4:13. According to what it is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. Know as a community, the Lord will give you a communal spirit of faith to identify territory and people groups out there. And to then claim that, not as an act of false triumphalism, but to claim that as a genuine spiritual transaction between heaven and earth. And as you believe, you will speak, and as you speak, your core beliefs will develop and translate into action. This is going to be a great century for fresh mission in the church. For the previous 200 centuries, the previous two centuries, the mission field was essentially rural Africa, rural South America, and rural Southeast Asia. The history of the missionary movement in the UK reveals many, many missionaries went out into those parts of the world. Mission's mandate for the 21st century is the city. Want to make people from another nation. No longer do we have to cross the ocean. All we need to do is cross the street. Sometimes all we have to do is cross the landing of our apartment block. As we believe, as we speak, it translates into action. And what we are in the process of receiving is a pioneering and warring spirit. A prototype spirit. For this church has been marked by the Lord to be a prototype church in the city of Glasgow and beyond that, the nation of Scotland. A prototype church that will have visibility and have other people looking in and saying, don't agree with this, but I think they might have something going there. A church that challenges other denominations and other streams theology, a prototype church that contains the constituent parts of a warring and pioneering spirit. So clear from the worship here today, you believe in revival. Do you believe in revival in this house? I know something of your pastor's heart that he carries a mandate from the Lord to be part of revival in Scotland. But revival will only be a starting point for you as a fellowship. Revival will only be a starting point, not the outcome. The ultimate goal is domination of the enemy in your region. This is a kingdom church. There's such a kingdom presence in this church. I believe this kingdom presence you're moving into equates with a wider kingdom anointing for the city of Glasgow, a wider kingdom anointing for other churches in the city of Glasgow, because a warring and pioneering breakthrough spirit is something that is designed by God to overflow into other faith communities, is designed to overflow into other key relationships you have in Glasgow and in the nation. It's a new mission for the church, which means it's a new concept for the church. Truth be told, I've never been comfortable with the word church. Don't tell anyone, people will talk about me. It's always had a high cringe factor. That's where I'm stopping, being honest. Otherwise, I will dig myself in deeper and deeper and deeper. It's a clumsy word in terms of translation from the Greek to English. I believe a much better definition for what we know as church in the 21st century will be simply this: a company of people, community of people, community of friends. Church is not a sentimental organization in essence, but I think we're allowed to be sentimental when we eulogize our great and glorious past. It's only one function of the human mind and soul, but we have every right to be a people that have moments of great sentimentality. The church is growing up and developing into a warring and pioneering community in the land. And for you as a fellowship, a pivotal question in your journey, for the journey has only begun, a pivotal question is simply, what is the depth of the river you're living in at the present time? What is the depth of the river in your own personal walk with Jesus, in your corporate flow of Jesus? It's not really tick the box and move on kind of question. To ask the question accurately carries with it great relational responsibility. But there's a looking in to each other's lives and hearts, not to find out what's wrong in each other's lives and hearts, but to perceive the depth of grace in each other's lives and hearts, to define the flow of grace, and to recognize gifting and Holy Spirit impact, then live up to the level of your anointing. We're no longer bashful about, well, I'm kind of prophetic, you know. Not to be arrogant and boastful either, but with a place, finding a place of humility in our hearts, acknowledging before God, you have done a work of grace in us. You have done a work of grace in me. I discern, and my brothers and sisters discern, this is the level of anointing where I'm at, so I'm going to live up to it. I'm going to live up to it. This is going to be an exciting century for the body of Christ. I believe the body of Christ in Scotland will not only encounter a fresh move of the Spirit, but will be recipients of great blessing. I believe there's a long overdue blessing of God waiting to be poured out in the land, which for many of us will bring forth the challenge of responsibility. Need not be bashful and shy about moving into privilege. But our success in moving into privilege will be wrapped up in whether we are willing to move into privilege with humility. Privilege and humility flow very well together. We're going to finish in 8 minutes. 8 Scottish minutes. Which might be different from 8 white inch minutes. 4 quick bullet points as we wrap up the message this morning. Number one, we do need to call upon the Holy Spirit at this hour, according to Ephesians 5, verse 18, that we are continually filled with the Spirit. And preaching to the choir, there's no one that would disagree with that statement that I've just made. It's so essential that we are filled with the Spirit continually. It will work out in 2 spheres. The church essentially is a teaching community and a relational community. A new infilling of the Spirit may lead you and I into one or both, but there will be measurable fruit. Number 2, leave the Lord to help us develop a proactive spirit. Not necessarily a proactive mind or a proactive set of emotions, but in the heart of a human spirit, we will have an inner reflex that will be proactive every time the finger of the Lord comes upon us. I believe this is a house where you will be able to flesh things out very well together. I sense the generosity of spirit in this house, where you will be able to flow with what the Lord is doing. And a proactive spirit in the midst of that is absolutely vital. Point 3, and this is the most expensive point to engage with. Pray, pursue us, Holy Spirit, until we surrender. That's an expensive prayer to pray. For you do not know what you need to surrender until the Spirit of the Lord brings conviction. And when you do surrender, in all likelihood, you will become a person you've never been before. It sounds like a skip and a hop to glory. The processing of that can be very different. Pray this in your prayer gatherings. Pray this one and one over one another through the week. Pray this in your prayer closet. Pursue me, Holy Spirit, until I surrender. We all think we're sweet little things until the Holy Spirit brings conviction. We all think we're a unique mixture of John Boy Walton and Lassie the Wonder Dog until the Holy Spirit reveals our hearts and then says, surrender that, surrender that. Our immediate response is typical, no way, Jose. Why are you picking on me? Have you not got better things to do with your life? I can tell you people in the church that need this more than me. It's a great battle, a wrestling with God, when the Holy Spirit begins to pursue us. Holy Spirit pursues us to lead us according to Ephesians 4:13 into the fullness of Christ. We need to be on this upward journey. We need to be on this upward swing, that as our flesh life passes away, there's evidence of our lives increasing in terms of the measure of Christ. We live in this paradox of faith where every individual person in this room that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior has the entirety of Christ Jesus dwelling within them. But the paradox is also found in the truth that the entirety of Jesus abiding within a believer leads them in their journey into the fullness of Christ. The Holy Spirit pursues us with wisdom, revelation, holiness, righteousness, and opens our spiritual eyes and ears. Some of you have already broken through in your spirit. You've begun the journey. Some of you will be wrestling with the Lord at this time, more frustrated than blessed, more angry than rejoicing. As any mother will tell you here today, giving birth is not a bowl of cherries. I was present when my wife gave birth to our daughter Sarah in January 2004. When the doctor said, "Would you like some epidural?" I said, "Yes, please." He says, "Not for you, meathead, for the woman on the bed." But the hardest part of giving birth to a child, I believe, or so I've been told, is when the woman goes into transition. Mother goes into transition. Going into transition before there's a significant breakthrough in a spirit will be a place of darkness, will be a place of isolation, it will be a place of profound hunger and spirit. But in some cases, it can be as intense as "I must break through or I will die." Whoever said the Christian faith is for wimps has never gone through a spiritual transition. Bless you as you reflect on this message. Bless you as you continue in your pilgrimage. Bless you as you follow the Lord and model a breakthrough spirit to the body of Christ in Glasgow, as you model a breakthrough spirit to the nation and become a prototype church where people come looking for you to explain how this is done. Amen. I think I'll pray for Alan, actually, as a wrap-up. I would like to do that. Amen. Thank you, Alan, for inviting me here today. I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. This is Alan. Thank you, Lord, for this apostolic man. Thank you, Lord God. This is a man who understands leadership and how to facilitate the anointing. The Lord calls you his gift to the nation, because not only do you move in anointing, but you know how to facilitate anointing. And I'm creating in the land right now, says the Lord, fresh rivers of grace and estuaries of grace. I have raised you up, says the Lord, to be a unifying voice in the church, but also in civil society, says the Lord. I desire to unite the church with civil society in this nation to give my people a voice in the land once again. The Lord says soon this nation will go through a time of soul searching. There is a moral crisis coming to the nation of Scotland that will be accompanied by a time of disaster. And the Lord says, "Son, I will give you a voice in the nation, within the church, and within civil society, that this nation can rediscover her spiritual compass again, that this nation can rediscover her moral compass again." I am exploding in the land right now, says the Lord, in the realm of the arts in a Scottish context. I am redefining Scottish identity at this time, says the Lord, and many millions of Scottish people are responding well. But the Lord says this is not a secular transaction. This is a spiritual transaction. For first the natural, says the Lord, and then the spiritual. I will release across this land a spirit of liberation. but I am also releasing across this land a fresh truth impartation that Scotland will become a sending out nation once again for the gospel, but Scotland will be a nation that nations will travel into to receive the anointing, to receive instruction. I am taking my church into a time of recalibration right now, says the Lord. And I'm giving you a language. I'm giving you insights. I'm giving you leadership, says the Lord, to have the masses go the way of the Lord. For the Lord says it's an out-of-the-box experience. No textbook has been written that can prepare my people in this land for this move of the Spirit, but you will be a forerunner voice amongst many other forerunner voices. For I am truly with you, says God.